it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time to talk more Cowboys football with you. Kickoff Sunday at noon, our pregame with Brian Broaddus and Eric Chiafalo at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Right here in Dallas, as the guys will be in New York getting ready to play the Jets. Nick Harris will be in tow, and he joins us now from the Star Telegram. Nick, good afternoon. How the heck are you?
Hey, doing fantastic, fellas. Appreciate y'all being flexible on this Friday afternoon.
No, yeah, no problem, man. We'd love having you on every week. Now, let's talk expectations for the offense behind this line that might have four backups playing. Can they keep the party going against this Jets defense?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You talk about that offensive line, they're going to be for sure without three starters. Left tackle Tyler Guyton's going to be out with a concussion. It'll be Nate Thomas in his spot. Center Cooper Beebe still on IR. It'll be Brock Hoffman in his spot. And then the right guard, Tyler Booker, still battling his high ankle sprain, with the potential of left guard Tyler Smith also not playing. There's some optimism in the building that he can get through this knee tendonitis, and it's going to be a true game-time decision for him on Sunday. But if he cannot go, there's going to be a lot of moving around. You probably have to move T.J. Bass to left guard, and then you probably see Hakeem Adeniji at right guard. Trevor Keegan is also an option there, but I would expect Adeniji. So, yeah, let's say that there are four guys up front that are going to be replacements. You know, I think it's more of a issue for the run game than I think it will be for the pass game. I say that only because Dak has been so good against pressure and against the blitz, not only so far this season, but throughout his career. You know, he's going to be facing more of it. It's a really talented Jets defensive front. Not only Quinnen Williams, but Will McDonald is really starting to put it together as a first-round billing, and he's had a great start to the season for the Jets. So, you know, for this running game, though, I'm not necessarily sure that the proof is in the pudding as much as it is with Dak Prescott and being able to account for pressure, account for blitz. You know, Javonte Williams is going to have, you know, quite a big battle in front of him, and then you're going to have a backup running back who's making his NFL debut, most likely, in Jaden Blue. So, you know, if you can get the running game established and you can get that going, then I might have a little bit more optimism, but, you know, it's not easy when you have a makeshift offensive line like this.
Hey, Nick, okay, you talked about moving Bass over to the left side, potentially, and then Adeniji playing on the right side. Is that just, is it a comfort thing? That has anybody told you if they had to do that, why, and did they maybe practice that way this week?
Yeah, I think they feel a little bit more comfortable with what the options would be at right guard if they were to move T.J. Bass rather than what they would feel at left guard. Because, you know, Hakeem Adeniji, he has that veteran experience. He can slide in on that right side a lot more naturally than the left side. You know, they've worked him mostly at tackle throughout preseason and training camp, but he has that guard flexibility, and it makes more sense for him on the right side of the ball. And T.J. Bass, truthfully, they feel, honestly, he's more of a left guard anyway, but he's been the guy that's had to step in at the right guard spot, and he was fantastic against the Packers, in my opinion, pound for pound. I thought he was the best offensive lineman for the Cowboys in that game with what he was able to do in the run game and in pass protection. Honestly, a healthy surprise. But I think they would lean toward moving him to the left side if Tyler Smith cannot go.
While we're talking about the offensive line, what do you think allowed such a good performance against the Packers when it came to keeping the pocket clean enough and executing? Is this the coaching staff different? Is this the development coming right on time for Hoffman and Bass? What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things, really. I think you can definitely point to the trajectory that Hoffman and Bass have taken, you know, year three and year four, respectively, out of being undrafted guys and have had to make their way from, you know, practice squads up to the bottom of the 53-man roster and then now being these first depth options. And they've really put it together, and it's a luxury to have quality backup interior linemen in this league, and the Cowboys are fortunate to have a couple of them in Hoffman and Bass. But also got to give credit to offensive line coach Connor Riley and offensive coordinator Clayton Adams. You know, they have been prepared for this, and you know, I feel like they've attacked this moment just as strongly. You know, from a Clayton Adams perspective, when it came to the run game, you know, the run game remained consistent against the Packers despite there being, you know, two guys in the interior that were out. So much pin and pull action, so much creating of lanes between the tackles. that Clayton Adams was able to do from a scheme standpoint that I think you really have to give credit to. And then Connor Riley just being the man of that room to be able to, you know, have the wherewithal and to be ready when you know, the replacements are called upon. But I think with those guys, man, it's just a combination of a lot of things, and it's worked out great for them.
With Turpin having been ruled out, what does the wide receiver room look like for Sunday? And if Sauce travels with Pickens and takes him out of the game, who's your pick to step up?
Well, I will say, you know, you go back to the Steelers and Jets matchup from a year ago, Sauce traveled with Pickens, and Pickens had over 100 yards in that game. So, you know, if you're looking for someone to maybe have a leg up in that matchup, I would give it to Pickens. But looking at the rest of the receiver room, yeah, it's certainly going to be, you know, quite of a makeshift performance for them as well. You know, Kevontae Turpin out. You'll definitely see Jalen Tolbert take a step forward. You'll see Ryan Flannoy take a step forward. But I think the guy that will take over most of what, you know, Turpin gives you from a gadget, slot, speed weapon type perspective is going to be Jalen Cropper coming off the practice squad. That's going to be a fun guy to watch. And if you've listened to any of my content, you know I've been a big fan of him in training camp environments, and excited to see what he can look like from an offensive perspective. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they replace Turpin, not only in their return game, which is going to have a couple different wrinkles as well, but on the offensive side too.
Slowing down Justin Fields and his legs, Nick, what do you think their plan is here?
Yeah, you hope it's a spy, right? I mean, they did not utilize that to much avail in week one against Jalen Hurts when he had those pair of rushing touchdowns in the first half. And, you know, that certainly put them behind the eight ball in that game, but not even that one. Russell Wilson, Caleb Williams, Jordan Love, they've all gotten away for big scampers against this defense. You know, truthfully, I just don't feel like these linebackers are athletic enough to be able to handle, you know, a running quarterback like Justin Fields. I think it's the most talented, most natural runner they'll see at the quarterback position all year. You know, that's a tough ask. I mean, this is a guy who had a 43-yard rushing touchdown on Monday night against a Dolphins front that has had success at times against these type of quarterbacks. So, you know, you definitely have a lot of concerns going into the game. I'm not sure that any plan would be a good one based on what they've thrown on the field so far. But, guys, I just don't have a lot of optimism for this defense overall. I mean, there's not a lot to pull from it.
So do you think, all things considered, are you picking the Jets to win?
I am picking the Jets to win this game. I think there's just too many things working against the Cowboys right now. And, you know, could they surprise me? Or it wouldn't even be a surprise, honestly, but could they win this game? It would not surprise me. But I think too many things are working against them. We've talked about the injuries. We've talked about the scrambling quarterback that can make life difficult downfield. But also, this team has proven to show that road noon games have not been easy for them to pull out easy wins for. So, you know, you got a pair of those over the course of the next couple of weeks. I think this one's setting up to be an easy trap game.
You know, I guess I was feeling the same way as you. I ultimately picked the Cowboys, and I think it's hope that this was a difficult conversation week, coach to coach, coach to player, and that their defensive personnel shouldn't be this bad. Like, they can overcome it. But, you know, do you not have confidence in that? Do you think what we see is what we're getting over the next 14 games, 13 games with this defense?
I tell you what, I mean, you not only factoring in the issues that they've had on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, all these starters that are out on the offensive side, you know, this is really an opportunity for this Schottenheimer culture to hammer home. And I'm curious to see how that could show up in a game like this. I am still very much a Brian Schottenheimer believer. I think the Cowboys have exceeded even my expectations that I had for him coming in and being a efficient play caller and him being a elite culture builder. You know, this is one of those games where you hope that culture building really shows up, because they're going to need all 53 guys. Shoot, they might not even have 48 guys available in this game. They're going to have to make three practice squad call-ups, but there's probably going to be a couple guys that are quote-unquote active that will not play because of health issues. That's how banged up that they are right now. So, you know, you hope that can come forward. But as far as the defense, to your question, man, until I see it, I'm just kind of a believer. I can't believe something until I see it. And so far, I haven't really. Have there been minor improvements week to week going back to that awful week two performance against the Giants? Absolutely. I think there have been minor improvements, but, you know, minor improvements aren't getting the job done right now. I'm curious to see what Wanya Thomas can do as a deep safety. I think his communication style, based on the conversations I've had this week, might be able to work a little better for them on the back end. I'm curious to see how that manifests in this game against the Jets. And, you know, maybe they kind of fall up with a situation where Thomas has to come in for the injured Hooker, and he might end up being the better player.
Hey, Nick, how do you think that Diggs's comments towards the, you know, defensive coordinator, and then also with Shoddy, how do you think those have been received?
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, Brian Schottenheimer talked about today in the presser. I had asked him, you know, Trayvon spoke on Wednesday about how he went to Eberflus and he wanted to play more man coverage. And He also talked about how he respected Schottenheimer's decision to not start him in that game. And, you know, Schottenheimer said that, you know, they had a good long conversation before the game last week. They agreed to disagree, and they kind of moved forward off of that. And, you know, I think, you know, it's just kind of another feather in the cap of the contention that Trayvon Diggs continues to have with team personnel, whether it be the front office going back to training camp and then now coaching staff. But, you know, honestly, I can't blame Trayvon Diggs at this point because he has been a certain style corner his entire career. And then now that things are being asked to change quite a bit and there's no success coming with it, no success at all, and it's a 32nd ranked pass defense, then I understand, you know, wanting to have that conversation. And Schottenheimer even said, he's like, look, I love having guys that challenge our coaching staff. We have to have that. We need to be held accountable too. And so, you know, I don't think there was much contention in that conversation specifically, but I do wonder where the sitting him down, I do wonder where that stemmed from, and I'm not sure we'll ever get that answer.
So you feel like they should definitely be playing more man?
I do. I mean, they've drafted over the course of the last 5 years for a man defense, and they have guys in the secondary that have excelled at man, not only in coverage, but also in creating turnovers, which is something this defense has had trouble doing here in the first 4 weeks as well. You know, I definitely am under that belief.
I agree with you. Did they, with that being said, maybe hire the wrong defensive coordinator?
That's a
then?
Great question.
Yeah, and that's a great question, too. Yeah. And, you know, you wonder if there's a little bit too much of trying to fit a round peg in a square hole or whatever, square peg, round hole, whatever it is. You guys know what it is. I'm not the wordsmith over here, right? But I think possibly so. I mean, 17 games will tell a story. We are only 4 games into it. But if you had to ask me right now, I lean toward that thinking for sure.
Nick, to the best of your knowledge, was the Eberflus hire more of a Shoddy hire or more of a Jones hire?
I don't necessarily have that knowledge. I do call back, though, to, you know, if you look at the entire staff, right, and you look, just kind of put pieces together, you know, all of Schottenheimer's offensive hires, even his hire as special teams coordinator, were all guys that he's coached with before that he has experience with, or not all of them, but, you know, that he's had a personal connection with over the course of time. Clayton Adams was a guy he really connected with over on a sideline a few years ago in Indianapolis, and really, you know, it struck his eye how much knowledge he had, and that conversation carried through friendship for years. Matt Eberflus is the outlier when you start looking at the coaching staff hires. You know, he was the Jones experience guy. You know, he was the one that's been in this building before, and then he hired his defensive staff. So, you know, if you're asking me to make an educated guess, I would say Jones hire, but I don't have that confirmation for you, no.
So what's the expectation for Jaden Blue? Will he be rocking the Louis V cleats, and how much offensively do you think they'll put on his plate?
Yeah, no word on the Louis V, the Bluey V cleats, if you will.
Louis
yeah,
V, I love yeah. that.
His offensive output is going to be determined on Miles Sanders' availability. It is trending in the wrong direction as of right now toward Miles Sanders playing on Sunday. So, you know, he'll get those secondary touches, and I'm very curious to see what that'll look like. I think it could help a run game that might need it on Sunday against with 4 offensive linemen out. You know, his burst, his receiving ability, I think it could kind of bring something if the run game starts to flutter early on. But I think the return game is another aspect to keep an eye on here. I would expect him to be in on kick return, not punt return, but I would expect him to have some kick return opportunities here in this game too.
What's the situation with Marshawn Nealon? And if he can't go, who do you think benefits with those snaps?
Yeah, still getting information on the Marshawn Nealon perspective, but if he's not able to go, that probably leans more toward a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, who is mostly limited last week in his snap count. He's going to increase anyway, but it might increase even more. But, you know, hopefully in pass rush situations, you see more James Houston. And that's a guy that they are trying to get more snaps for, and rightfully so. I mean, the start to his season has been fantastic. He's leading the team in sacks. He's leading the team in pass rush win rate. So you'd like to see both of those things continue to increase with more snap opportunities.
What do you think about Ezeraku following up that, like, mini breakout or breakthrough performance?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know I'm a huge fan of his, and I've loved to see what he's done in the run game so far this year. You know, I expected, if you told me, you know, hey, you're 4 weeks into the season, he doesn't have any sacks, I would be like, dang, that's kind of discouraging. But, you know, the reality of it is that he's actually looked really good in the run game, and I think that's an encouraging part to his early development, because, you know, I loved the pass rush arsenal that he had at Boston College and being able to get to the quarterback. There were at times his run game maybe suffered a little bit, but he was still a really good run defender. And you've seen that run defense actually step up in his early time with the Cowboys. And so, you know, once that pass rush arsenal really starts to flash and he's able to put that on the field in an NFL game, I think you're going to have a pretty complete defender here. It's just kind of, it's more baby steps at this point for him than I expected. But nevertheless, it's going to be fun to watch his progression.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy your trip up to New York, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Have a great one.
There he goes, Nick Harris. He might not be a wordsmith, but he's a hell of a beat writer.
I think that's good. He's phenomenal. Yeah, really good.
Doing a hell of a job there. So thanks to Nick for joining us every Football Friday here in the G-Bag Nation during the Cowboys season. What are we doing next, Eric?
Sports Hodgepodge featuring some college football nuggets. We got MLB postseason things to know and maybe just a little surprise for you next in the nation.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Happy birthday to Blake Elliott, and salute to his mom who just brought in some delicious chicken and rolls and gravy and fries and everything. I think Broadus is just going to hang out in there in the break room and crush in the bullpen.
Swimming in the gravy.
I can't blame him. Okay, segment here brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. It's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's the chief. Pardon, that's the chicken strip.
Hello.
Here's the chief with your evening sports hodgepodge.
Yes, sir. I got the goods right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening
to
you guys?
Well, it is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. No one's listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. Rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
All right, let's make sure that we bookmark to remember in crosstalk to not only thank Blake Elliott for the birthday.
Mama Kim.
Deliciousness. Yeah, Mama Kim. It's her mom-iversary. 26 years running.
Yeah.
And,
did a good job.
26 straight, Mom of the Year. 26 straight. But he had...
She knows how to order.
I don't know if you guys caught it last night, but Blake had one hell of a moment of honesty talking about shooting a shot with a lady at the gym.
Oh, yeah? How'd it go?
It ended up being his mom?
It did not end up being his mom. I guess it could have gone worse, like, in terms of her reaction. But the opening line, I think, is one he'd like to have back. So we'll have to tee up the birthday boy for that one. But in the meantime, let's prep our bodies for a great sports weekend. I mean, this is what October's all about, man. Yeah, college football, NFL football, MLB postseason baseball. Shohei Ohtani scheduled to start game one, the NLDS. He's going to be pitching, boys. He'll be the first player in MLB history to have a multi-homer game and a pitch in a game in the same postseason.
Babe Ruth never did it?
Guess not.
That's shocking.
According to Optostats.
I think it's... this is the Dodgers thing to lose. So, I don't really think it's that close.
Wow, this is interesting.
The Phillies are no joke.
No, the Phillies are no joke. You're right about that. But let me. So, there, I mean, you say hit a homer and have a pitch.
So it's within a postseason. So he's already had a multi home run postseason game.
Okay, so it's multi.
Yes.
I was thinking some like a Bob Gibson, like those dudes in the 60s used to hit, and they're like, be pretty good, you know? But I you said multi home run game. So that, I don't know if he had multi home runs.
Right. So, Ohtani, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to see him pitch. I'm excited to see kind of like how deep into the game they want him to go. I mean, this is going to be pretty fun. That's tomorrow night. I think it's like a 5:30 start our time.
It's in Philly, right?
Yes, it will be in Philly.
By the way, Skip sent me the Mariner helmet with the crab
Dude, it looks delicious, doesn't it?
Holy Jesus, that looked good.
Yeah, that's an awesome.
You see the picture of that thing?
Yeah, the Seattle.
And you know what it's like, that's what I'm saying, you know it's quality
bucket,
crap.
Bucket of claws.
They're right there.
That is amazing.
They also have the Big Dumper beer. I bet they're just flying off the shelves.
Yeah, I bet
there.
The Big Dumper beer's going
60 ounces.
Right.
But see, you know, that the Big Dumper beer though in Seattle, if you gotta have that ability to have, you can't have that in an outdoor game, right? Like the Big Dumper beer, like 60 ounces of kind of drinking that in a warm weather game.
Oh yeah, it's down to probably the 60s in Seattle by now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got it. That's a nighttime
Room
Seattle.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't. How many times you've been at the old ballpark and you eat like a 12-ounce beer and you're like,
there's no
two
way you
sips,
do that.
You're like, what am I doing?
You got to basically chug it.
Yeah.
You got to go into the club.
That's what worries me about this Phillies 999 deal that they're serving up, right? Because
Eric,
we all know about the 999 challenge.
Don't act like you couldn't just punish that thing and go back and get another
Especially
one.
Especially if they're small.
Well, with this being like sort of mini beers, I'm guessing maybe an 8-ounce coldie. So 9 to 8-ounce coldies with a kind of like fun size hot dog.
That's ridiculous. Why are they ripping people off?
They're
like
thicker dogs, but they're short. I would guess. I don't know.
Like pigs in the blanket?
Not that small, but like, okay, I would say like a jumbo pig in a blanket.
Okay.
Right? Like the jumbo ones.
Like a sausage dog.
Yeah, it's like that size, I would say.
Dude,
yeah.
You know, these beers are 4 ounces.
Oh, they're only 4 ounces?
They're 4-ounce beers.
Yeah. You have to drink one of those an inning?
Yeah.
This is easy.
But that's my thing, though, is who wants to buy their beers that are going to sit. You know, like, don't you, when you're doing the 999 challenge, aren't you probably thinking about buying like maybe two beers at a time so that you're getting cold beers all throughout the game? Whereas this, you buy it all in one and now you got nine beers, unless you're just going to hammer the beers super quick.
Hammer the beers.
But even the dogs, it's like, unless you're going to hammer those super quick.
Yeah, is that part, like, do you have to specifically do the challenge where you do one beer, one dog each inning, or can you just say, I'm just going to knock it all out?
I think you can just knock it all out, I think. But again, just...
I'm not dude paying child support. I'm going for it all.
Nine dogs, nine
but
beers.
But that guy, with my guy up in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Here's your $1 million. Go away. I'm sorry, it's my child.
That's one 4-ounce beer per 30 minutes. I think you're looking for more like about 12 ounces of beer per 20 minutes in a baseball situation. Three beers an hour.
Right.
That's way too slow for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to crush all the beers. I'm going to nurse the hot dogs. I'm going to go back and get another full-size beer or two to carry me through. That's just not enough beer.
But meanwhile, the dogs are getting cold. So that's just like my one gripe about,
whoa,
like, I love
whoa,
the plan.
Whoa,
but
whoa, whoa.
Hopefully what they're showing us online is it's fully assembled.
You eat cold food all the time. You're not. Don't use that as.
We wouldn't care.
Come on.
But you would like it hot.
Yeah, he's
like
not. He's not.
You'd prefer a cold winter?
I don't prefer it. But I would still eat it.
Yeah, right. Of course you would.
I don't know. A room temperature dog?
Eric,
that's starting to get pretty.
But keep in mind, you're hammered.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to taste
delicious. Think about
good
those
point.
Dollar dogs in that foil that's been steamed all day. That thing. That thing's like
the bread
wet.
Is getting stale. It's either wet or hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just wolf it down like there's no tomorrow.
I prefer wet over hard, to be honest with you, when it comes to those bunsies. Because when you get those crustified buns... It's a throwaway. It's like I'm ripping that off of, like, if it's like half hard crust bun, no thank you.
Anytime after about the second or third inning, you're taking your fate into your own hands.
Just dip it in your beer.
I've done that before.
That guy that eats all those hot dogs
Make
does
me
that.
Puke. Okay, how shocking is this? WTF stat of the day. Wrigley Field first opened 111 years ago.
Okay.
Broadus was a wee little lad. Last night was the first time the Cubs ever won a winner-take-all postseason game at Wrigley. Isn't that crazy? So
they're the lovable losers.
That is nuts. That is absolutely mind-blowing, actually.
Thank you. Bird it's a WTF stat of the day.
That is shocking.
So they played Cleveland in their World Series win, right? Is that who they played?
In game seven. Yeah,
and
went to seven.
So that was at Jacobs Field.
It was in Cleveland.
It's some field now. Yeah. It's something different. I'm sorry. I don't know what the name of it is.
Yeah, that was a road victory.
Progressive Field, maybe?
Yeah.
Financial Services Field.
Right. Is that what it's called?
No, it's just what they all are.
Oh.
Yeah, it's some type of
bank.
It
used to be Jacobs Field.
What do you guys think about the New York Post sports page headline after last night? Did you see it?
No.
Holy schlit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 12 Ks, man. That'll do it for you.
I mean, that was a historic pitching performance.
Sure was.
From
Cam Schlittler. Dude had, I mean, first pitcher in MLB history to toss 8+ shutout innings with 12 or more punchouts. No walks in any postseason game.
He rose to the occasion.
So he took it personal. And ended the season of the Red Sox. If this guy's not an all-time, like nothing he does moving forward really matters. He is a legend forever when it comes to
the Canyon of Champions. They're going to throw a ticker tape parade for him.
Yeah. An absolute bowl.
As they should.
I think. I mean, he's got to have a Schlitz beer endorsement by now, right?
Oh, I would think. But holy
shit. Do we
Schlitt,
still drink like, Schlitz?
Well, yeah, if you're
they've evolved.
If you're a Schlittler, that's the official beer.
Basically
the Schlittler
named after you.
The mall liquor still kicking butt, taking
first,
names.
First beer I ever had.
A $15 15 pack right now on DoorDash. You can get some Schlitz malt liquor, but they've also gone to the Schlitz original lager. They got a Schlitz premium.
The maroon logo, Schlitz.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that in a store.
I saw a 30 pack last night of Lone Star beer. Looks interesting.
Hey, it tastes like the great state of Texas.
Yeah, it was kind of like $15.
Yeah.
That's a great deal.
That's an immediate purchase.
I thought about buying it, just handing them out to people.
Yeah, it's a card swipe.
That's a sweet, sweet man you are.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? We pivot to college football now here in the hodgepodge. Stanford football.
Cardinal.
Why are we talking them?
Has unveiled the incredible.
Bad football program.
Captain Andrew Luck bobbleheads to be given out at the Notre Dame game
on
November
29th. Did they bring the Twitter account back?
Yeah, well,
has it been active again?
Okay, no, but they did their own rendition. They have like a whole commercial where Andrew Luck is reading. You guys remember the old?
I loved it.
The old like Civil War Andrew Luck Twitter account.
He's like sending war notes to his loved one, basically, but it's like game notes.
Yeah, it's like, dearest mother, my disappointment is immeasurable. Our unit fell to the jungle cat men. We simply were unable to gain the necessary ground to fortify a victory. I find myself flummoxed by the outcome of the final maneuver of the battle. We must learn and move forward, Andrew. That's an example of the captain, Andrew Luck.
It was genius.
Twitter account.
No, it's amazing.
That was after they lost to the Jags, by the way. That's why it was the Jungle Cat Men.
And it was before AI. Which you can appreciate even more.
Exactly. That was like a real
very
human
creative
being.
Person.
Yeah, that
very
person
creative,
was thoughtful. And
that was not some bots not. So, nonetheless, they're gonna have the captain, Andrew Luck bobblehead night, dude.
It's beautiful.
That's pretty amazing. Okay, so elsewhere in college football, one, Theo Vaughn will be this week's guest picker on game day at Alabama.
Okay.
And I guess he's a Vandy guy, right? He was shooting shots with Pavia's mom and on the sidelines and everything.
Johnny Manziel there doing it.
Yeah.
Even though he's not affiliated with either team.
He's not.
So do you think there's Vanderbilt fans that didn't go to Vanderbilt?
Oh,
I don't think so.
For baseball, maybe. I mean,
they can't go Jay Cutler.
My mom, it's probably
just like a late
townies.
Claim. Like,
my mom pulls for
up,
Vanderbilt like, baseball. She does. Like LSU's number one. Vanderbilt's like number two. She knows everything about
Theo
Vaughn Vanderbilt baseball.
Went to the University of New Orleans and College of Charleston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
UNO.
For about 2 days.
So he did not spend any time at Vandy. This is weird.
Nashville guy,
he's,
right?
He's become like an honorary. No, he's a Louisiana guy. He might be living in Nashville now.
Oh, he's from New Orleans?
But he was born in Louisiana, Covington, Louisiana.
Oh, that's a suburb of New Orleans, yeah.
Let's head to the college football message boards where we have an LSU Tiger rant. Broadus, are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
The subject of the message reads, imagine Shanahan on an LSU sideline. This is after last night's game. Oh. No excuses, play sheet in hand, calling the shots, injuries everywhere, still winning.
Yeah.
Bleep Brian Kelly. What a loser. What does he do? Seriously. What is Kelly capable of taking over other than slamming a fist on the table like a two-year-old? We take you to Kentucky, where it says, Stoops with the crap one-liners. Quote, time to get back to work. Quote, pony up. He can take his, quote, my little pony back to Youngstown. Somebody should slip X-lax in his pregame meal so he can feel the same as us UK fans every game. And he should wear white pants so the whole nation can see him for the bleep stain that he is.
Oh, wow. Kentucky fans even have expectations.
That's aggressive.
SEC just accept it. Just means more.
Just means more.
Wait for basketball season.
Let's head to Gainesville, where the subject reads, Napier, you bleeping suck. At every bleeping thing you do with football, you are in every way the worst coach in the history of this program. You deserve to lose every penny you've made. Your wife should be arrested for taking advantage of a handicapped person.
Oh, man.
Please quit and don't ever coach again.
That's rude and disrespectful.
That's the type of vibes that Arch Manning and company are walking into
God.
As they go and
look to take down the Gators.
Hope he's okay.
Told you there was going to be a surprise, boys. And the surprise is now.
We're going to get to the craziest story I think I've ever heard. Comes courtesy of our buddy Bobby Belt in the morning. Heard this story and I was absolutely jarred. But first, I have to bring up something that came to my attention today. Do a fun little Football Friday Bible study with the football coaches at Fossil Ridge High School.
Okay. If the coaches,
they're a little bit down bad as a school, I would say.
Are you ministering to them, or what's the dynamic here?
It's not that I'm ministering to them. I am just sort of
giving you some God topics.
Leading the we have a Bible study, okay. And then I'm just trying to like garner up conversation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Trying to get these guys to share a little bit.
Could this be why they're struggling?
No, fortunately, they've been struggling for a good bit.
Yeah, no, it's been a rough program.
But we, there was actually the FC Dallas chaplain was hosting the FCA kickoff at their school. And so one of the coaches was like, hey, do you want to come along? So after our Bible study, we walk across into the main school, which usually we're just in the football facility.
Yeah.
So nonetheless, I'm walking through this high school and I'm noticing the bathrooms have the doors completely taking off of them.
Yeah. Oh, we got vaping going on in there?
So, yes, that was my thought. I'm like,
well, we had a suicide issue, and that's why they took him off of Plano.
Ooh, that's uncomfortable.
Just to be real.
I prefer the vape theory.
Yeah.
That Dawson was kind of...
Time now for LA Live.
No, but so I asked, I'm like...
Let's go to the pimp company.
The heroin overdose,
shout out to my wondering.
shout out to my guy, Doug. I'm like, Doug, they got no doors on these bathrooms. He's like, yeah. Get this. They don't have doors on the stalls either.
Whoa,
these
now that's weird.
These kids have gone so berserko mode in these bathrooms over the years that for the last like 4 years, a doorless stall situation.
Yeah.
I how many emergencies? I'd be calling my mom like a couple times a month Mom,
no.
I can't do this.
I wasn't at tour in school anyway, but that's ridiculous.
That's how all my schools were as a kid. And so I was like Wolchuk.
Oh, no.
I would never do number two at the school.
I can't imagine that, man.
I'm watching my hydration levels. Like, I mean, this is the 80s. So the bathroom in the halls, like in between classes and middle school and high school in the 80s, it was kind of taking your life into your own hands.
You know? I kind of felt like, though, that the bathrooms back in the day had more power to them, though. The flush systems and stuff like that.
Yeah,
we were just kind of better built. You know, if you had to,
the schools were bomb shelters.
You didn't have to. You didn't have to worry about debris and stuff like
there was
that.
No poo stains there.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah.
I had a potential restroom situation as, our 11th floor up here has been vacated of ladies. I think post-pandemic, there hasn't been a lady up here. So we're kind of using the women's room. And I walked into the stall because it's much cleaner, doesn't smell bad.
No.
And as I'm relieving myself, the stall next to me flushes, bro. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm waiting excuse me. And I'm just trying to rack my brain for what kind of a lame-ass excuse I'm going to throw out there and an apology. So as I finish up, I kind of back out and I look over there. The sensor got triggered by something.
Yeah. It's a big sense of relief.
What you could do is, hey, I'm so sorry I had my head down and took a right. That's it.
There we go.
Yeah, went too far, took a right. I'm sorry. I was looking at my phone and just, I'm sorry.
I'll keep that in mind, Broadus, for the final 3 weeks that we're working here.
Yeah, we only got the big move.
That bathroom is the cleanest in the league.
End of an era.
Yeah, we're going to be in trouble when we get to the new place. Yeah. A lot of dudes, not a lot of options. I will just shorten up this story.
How about that weight room area?
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Go downstairs and do that.
That's true. Yeah. So basically, 33-year-old Texan man for 2 years has had an issue where the bodily functions that are supposed to come out of the front are coming out of the back, all of them, and the bodily functions that are supposed to come out of the back coming out of the front.
Bad plumbing.
He's reverse wired.
Excuse me?
He had a catheter situation that went awry, and he didn't realize it. So this is like a sewing situation of all time, right?
What? A sewage situation, too.
No question.
So he's been doing this for 4 years?
2 years. 2 years this dude has been doing all the frontal things out back. All of them.
How many times?
Even the fun ones. We're going out the back, okay?
How many times? 2 years. How many times are you going to do that before you go get help?
Once.
What the hell is this guy's deal?
This guy's tough, though.
He's absolutely, he's got moxie.
Yeah. I think this guy's sick in the head.
It would definitely help you.
He's sick in the butt.
Make sure you're getting enough fiber.
Liked it.
you know?
Yeah, I just
can't imagine being one-on-one fight.
He must have been totally blown away.
So everything, too, was coming out one as well? All the opposites were true?
Yes. So it was only through the back.
It was a freaky.
There wasn't poo out the front.
Freaky Friday. There was poo out the front.
Yeah, dude. So how does that happen?
I have no idea.
Your diarrhea?
Streamage.
I have no idea.
This does very narrow sense. Stream.
It's coming out like a spaghetti noodle.
This is a ball sack story.
Isn't this? No, it's even more than that. It's also a rectal story.
There's no chance this is rectal true.
They say five
what?
Out of every 1 million people suffer from this.
Oh, my
So I don't know if
gosh.
People could be born this way.
One
this guy
time.
Wasn't born this way.
Just let it happen.
One time.
One
it would
time.
Be the, it would be the,
yeah.
biggest, it,
one
it would be the
time.
Biggest suing story of all time.
This one
is
time.
Bizarre.
Is that not the craziest thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, I can't imagine who would.
Hey, this guy went
this
2 years
this
without
guy
worrying
suffered
about
it for
it.
2 years,
yeah,
bro. Can
this
you
guy
imagine?
Liked it.
Must have been trying to avoid the insurance premium.
What is his problem?
Well, thank you, Chief. That is an all-timer right there. Restroom revelations. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. It's a proper football Friday. We'll see what Fred and Blake have in mind here for this game coming up next. The Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. And thanks to everybody for making us part of your day. Flagtober underway tomorrow. Just our annual appreciation tour around DFW handing out. The all-new 2025 G-Bag Nation flag will be at Tolbert Garage Door from 9 to 11. Then
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show. With Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
East Dallas Diesel with your guy Wolchuk from noon to 2. And stay tuned for all your chances to pick up a 2025 G-Bag Nation flag sponsored by Tolbert Garage Door. Here they are, Fred and Blake. Gentlemen, how the heck are you?
Did you guys wish him a happy birthday?
Yeah.
Happy
a couple
birthday.
Appreciate you guys. Y'all are the goats.
Happy birthday, Blake.
Working with you guys. And I'm glad. 25 years old. Now to 26, still here.
This is how it works.
Is this your Deron Bland year?
It's my Deron Bland year.
Is this your CJ Stroud year where you start slowing down?
I have felt that a little bit, you know, after the gym, sitting in the bed, muscles a little bit tighter than when I was 21, 22.
Keeps
so
me tight.
Maybe I'm getting a little CJ Stroud in me.
Let's hope not.
How are you celebrating this weekend? You going big?
Fred knows all about that.
I have zero plans for my birthday other than working, but as of about 30 seconds ago before we came back on, Fred said he wanted to go out. And so I said, let's do it tonight. So we'll see where Fred ends up on that.
I didn't mean tonight. I mean, I get off the air at 12:30, and I usually head straight home and go to bed at that
you
point.
You do get off late.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, I'm on from now until 12:30. So the idea of going out tonight does not sound all that appealing.
What about like a Razoo's hopping party spot?
Pop over there, dude.
They'll be closed.
Oh, they're open late
they
tonight
shut down at 11.
For Blake's birthday.
So you got like a high school football scoreboard after fan after dark.
So I'm here till 10, and okay. Then
working the late shift.
I head over to the fifth floor. Me and Bruhman, and then at that point we're gonna do 2.5 hours of high school football.
So Blake's got an entire hour to yourself.
10 to 11. Me and Trevor.
Yeah, buddy.
What we do? Who knows? You got to stay tuned. We might just mess around. We might take callers. We might do some fantasy football. Play some audio. No idea.
Two call-in segments today?
You got to wait and see.
I mean, that kind of
play some
show?
Fantasy football on the air?
You got to wait and see. 10 to 11. You got to wait to see.
Did the IG girl ever respond?
She didn't.
Okay, did you guys hear that segment yesterday?
I did.
No.
Okay, just off the cuff, and we got Lucius in the house. Your thoughts on the line, you've got a face for content.
That's what I said to this young lady.
It might slap on these days.
as an icebreaker.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy right there in the gym. That's going to get you put on somebody's list. Get your membership revoked.
They're talking to the manager about you, Blake.
Yeah.
Now,
you got a face for content?
What's
your OnlyFans?
Hi, I'm Blake. You have a face for content.
That's pretty much more or less how it went.
Have you ever done videos?
Now, important part of the story is we had already made eye contact in the mirror and smiled at each other. I'd already grabbed my water bottle that was in front of the equipment you're trying to use and smiled at her. So we'd already made some friendlies. I didn't, just
some
sprint in the gym. She's mid-squat, and I'm like, got to face her content. Like, it was very normal, I would say. And I've never shot my shot ever at the gym in my
life.
Now
I know why.
And
might be a first and last.
But see, the thing is, do I want to go 0 for 1 or 0 for 2? Brett told me to shoot my shot again.
I say shoot a shot again, but...
With the same one?
No. Well, yeah, with the same woman, absolutely. Oh, okay. But be a little self-deprecating and go ahead and make fun of the fact that, yeah, you probably didn't, you know, use your best line on number one.
I don't think it was that bad of a line.
No, it's not great.
I kind How'd she react to it?
With a half smile.
Okay. And how'd you roll off of that? Like, it's a stunning line. Your second and third line's got to be fire. You're okay.
Well, I was trying to read the body language. If she was like, blah, 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 I said, you know, gym content, of course. I film stuff. I do podcasts. I'm on the radio. I was trying to fill the space.
Yeah, I got an ad on Craigslist.
See which one she grabbed onto.
He started panicking.
Then I said, I kind of read the room that she wasn't like about to go on a date with me right now. So I said, let me get your Instagram. I'll let you enjoy your workout. Hand her my phone. Unfortunately, all the other girls that I was followed that day were in the search bar. It wasn't a good look.
Wow. For the link tree.
And then she pulled up her Instagram and she had 152,000 and followed like 90 people. So I was like, she won't even see that notification. Mm. So, and now we're at the point we're at right now where nobody is, we're not talking anymore. So,
well, best of luck to you on your birthday weekend, buddy. You deserve better than that.
Godspeed, bro.
I'd have followed you. You know,
yeah, you got to
face the content. I'll try it again.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control here, 75 and Fitz. You just went 5 flawless like it was nothing. Woolchuck and Chiafalo and brought us till Monday at 2. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation at ease.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.